Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The WEEI Sports Radio Network. You're locked in to the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
I'm conflicted here. I mean, I want to say attaboy to the league, the people in the league offices and around the league who look at the situation in 2020 and go, my God, this is awful. We've got to do something. But Tony, if the league has to do this in 2020, how awful, how pathetic is the NFL? This is sad, Tone, that they would have to incentivize it in such an obvious way that they can't pull themselves together and simply interview and hire qualified black people. Are you serious? What is this, 1947?
Yes. Pardon the interruption, Michael Wilbon. This is Ken and Fitzy. That a reaction to the breaking news from Jim Trotter, reporter who said the NFL owners are going to vote next week on a resolution, Fitzy, that would improve a team's draft position if they hire a person of color as a head coach or GM. Currently, there are only two black general managers and four head coaches of color, matching a 17-year low. And
embarrassing. Well, that's just what a bad job by the NFL.
I mean, I think so, too. That's what I wanted to get Wiggy on. I mean, I don't know. There hasn't been a whole lot of support for this. It just feels so wacky with the tying into draft status and draft picks. But at least the league's admitting there's a problem, right? I mean,
Of course. No, there's a huge problem. But let me ask you this. When you saw the tweet, did you look to see if, you know, it had Jim Trotter's face? And then you read it, and it was a well-worded, it had been proofread, so it wasn't just like some quick hack trying to jump in there to see if they could steal the thunder. But did you think for a second it was like from a parody account?
I thought it was Curtis, yeah.
I looked to see if it was like Savage Boston Sports or Barry McCockner or whatever, one of those parody accounts. And then I saw it was verified from Jim Trotter, NFL, like, wait, no, this can't be real, because this is a joke. This is so embarrassing.
Well, Jermaine Wiggins joins us here on the program, the better half of the third man in on the Greg Hill Show in the mornings.
We could have done without that comment. You could leave that for your jerk work in the mornings. That's fine. What's up, Wiggs?
But Jay Wiggs,
what up, fellas?
You are passionate about this subject. You, as I said before the break, you once brought in the box of 32 donuts. Only two were chocolate. I mean, you know, right. This is an issue. What do you think of this plan, though, to tie it in with draft picks?
This is a joke, man. I agree with Mike Wilbon. It's like, if we got to get to this point where we got to incentivize, like give incentives to teams to hire, you know, minority coaches, especially black coaches, like, I mean, where are we? Like you said, what is this, 1950? You know, in order for you to, like, you know, in order for you to, you know, drink it or use a restaurant or a hotel, it's like, you know, you got to make sure that we fill in the quota in every month, make sure we're having two black you know, customers. It's just, it's stupid. I think the biggest problem is this, right? And until you get people of that are black in positions of power, which is general managers, because I think that's the biggest problem, right? Those are the ones hiring the coaches. And if you don't have enough of those, you know, it's tough for, you know, guys to hire minority coaches when there's not a lot of minority GMs or, you know, directors of player football operations. I just think that's where it has to start. It has to start at the top.
So this basically is like an overreactionary affirmative action for the NFL, where you're saying, like, all right, Carolina, if you're going to go with Matt Rhule, who's never coached in the NFL, that nor been a coordinator, that's your call, and you're going to reward him insanely. But we're going to maybe give you an extra second round pick if you hire away Eric Bieniemy from Kansas City just to promote diversity. Like, what a slap in the face of somebody who has been at the helm of one of the best offenses working with a diverse cast of options, I'd like to point out as well, in Kansas City. Like, let these guys earn it of their own volition and merit. Don't just pay someone else on the top to promote guys from within just to diversify your ranks. Would you want that, Wiggy? Would you want one of your kids to go to Michigan, have an NFL career, get in the front office, and only be able to get anything that they've done because someone had to fill out a racial portfolio?
No, I mean, and, you know, and that's the thing, like, you know, what I just talked about, right? It's like anything. The league is probably like everybody else is really, it's not about what you know, it's about who you know, right? And when you look at the league, you know, guys that are GMs, they're hiring guys that maybe they know and have relationships with or have had relationships with in the past. And, you know, maybe they're hiring guys that they have some type of connection with. And I had said this before, and Ken knows, we had this discussion, you know, on the old show about, you know, just, you know, if there's a black coach, he understands maybe what the black athlete is going through. Or if there's a black general manager, he might understand the difficulties that a black head coach has to deal with. So it's a, sometimes it works in the favor of, you know, if you have a black general manager, he might hire a guy knowing how difficult it is for a guy to climb the ladder because of, you know, his skin color. So maybe that's a way that you lean towards hiring a guy. And it's no different than, you know, guys who, I remember Mike Tyson used to say this all the time. Well, you see with Bill Belichick, it's, you know, guys that went to Maryland or Rutgers, he had a good relationship for whatever reason with those programs. And, you know, he would say, hey, listen, this might get you here, but it's not going to keep you here. And I think for, you know, black head coaches, it's all about them getting the opportunities. And in order for them to get the opportunities, it has to start at the top. And what you say, Ken, two black GMs, those are generally the people that are hiring the coaches. And, you know, if there's not really that connection there, if there's only two of them, it's hard for them. And think about it. One of the black GMs is the GM for the Miami Dolphins, right? Greer, I believe. Mm-hmm. And he hired Brian Flores.
Yeah.
So, it's, you know, they understand the problems that maybe black coaches have to deal with, especially trying to become head coaches. And that's why they might lean towards giving them jobs.
Like, but on the other hand, though, Wiggy, the sentiment, at least they acknowledge there's a problem, right? They're trying. Like, what did you think of the Rooney Rule when it came in? Because in 2003, the Rooney Rule took place and, you know, it required teams to interview minority candidates for jobs. And I know for a fact in Pittsburgh that got Mike Tomlin the job because they were going to give it to Russ Grimm. In fact, one of the papers announced it was him, but they interviewed Tomlin and they were blown away by the guy and it got him the job. So it's like, so that worked on some level. Obviously now there's still a problem here, whatever, 17 years later, but
the problem, I mean, to cut you off, Ken, the problem is it works, but it's like, does something really work if it only works once every 10 years if it, you know, I think that's the biggest thing, right? You have this rule in place, but it's working once every 10 years where, you know, you might see, you know, an African-American coach being hired, and that, you know, and that becomes the issue. I think when you look at the league and you kind of look at, I think everybody knows there's a problem, right? You know, 76% of your league is black, and you start to look at your head coaches, and the league knows that there's a problem. But in order to fix that problem, it starts with ownership, and then ownership works its way down. And until they do that, I think all this other stuff is just smoke and mirrors.
I don't want to put you on a spot here to have to deliver a hot take that I know will satisfy the Ken and Curtis masses, Wiggy, but do you think there actually might be a systemic racist issue in the higher ups and the upper front offices of the NFL? I mean, and if so, why would there be fear of diversifying the coaching staffs and the ranks throughout the league? Because last I checked, the league was predominantly African American in the first place.
You know, I think that's a great question, right? You sit there and you look, and we always talk. I remember Jerry and I had this argument about, you know, coaches. You know, there are a lot of guys who, you know, get into coaching as soon as they get out of college, and that's the reason why they're able to maybe ultimately climb the ladder quicker than, let's say, you know, maybe a black coach, which I didn't really get at the time. And I don't really understand it because there are a lot of, you know, young black coaches that, you know, don't play in the National Football League. And as soon as they get done playing college, they get to the coaching world and they're trying to climb their way up that coaching ladder. You know, I always wonder, like, what's the problem? What's the issue? Why aren't there more black head coaches, right? When you think about that in a sport where if you look at assistant coaches throughout the NFL, I bet you that the majority of them are probably on a lot of teams are 50-50, right? Maybe, you know, if you were to do the numbers, I'd say, you know, half of the coaching, assistant coaching staff is black and maybe the other half is white. Why aren't there more black head coaches, right? Why isn't that transitioning from maybe the assistant coach ranking? And that is that's probably going to be the question. And I don't think it's really about the racism element. I don't know. It always goes back to the GMs, right? And I just feel like they ultimately have a better relationship. White GMs have a better relationship with white head coaches. Yep. The same way maybe a black GM would have a better relationship with a black head coach. I think it goes back to that. And if you don't have, you know, enough guys in position that are hiring that are black, then you're not going to get black head coaches. I mean,
shouldn't they just look to recent examples to understand that it's hit or miss with every single coach? I mean, you mm-hmm. know, for every Steve Wilkes that you bring into Arizona, who was obviously well out over his skis and had no business being a head coach, you'll get an Anthony Lynn who, by all accounts, actually is a pretty well-respected and revered head coach who's got seemingly a pretty long future ahead of him in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, and another thing always, too, you know, when we live in society nowadays, right? It's yeah, I know people want to sit there and hide behind this thing like race doesn't exist, but we live in a society where race does exist, right? And I think there are a lot of owners and there are a lot of GMs that don't want to have to deal with that element of having to hire a black coach, right? Because they know if they hire a black coach, they know that that's going to be part of what comes with them hiring this coach, you know, is the fact that, oh, you know, whether it's negative or positive, regardless of what it is, there's going to be a racial element that comes with it. When you hire a white coach, you don't have that racial issue that comes with it. And I think whether it's owners or GMs that are the ones doing the hiring, I think that plays into it a lot, right? Yeah. And, you know, maybe that's a elephant in the room that they don't want to have to talk about and deal with, right? Whether a team's winning or losing, or there will always be something, right? Anytime you have a black head coach, forget about the, you know, on the field stuff. He's always going to have to deal with some racial element of, you know, his coaching style, and race is always going to come into play, right? When you think about it, Ken, you talked about Mike Tomlin, right?
Yep.
There's always going to be some, and I know Mike Tomlin well. I worked with him in Minnesota. There's always going to be some element of race that comes into the conversation when you have a black head coach. And maybe there are owners and GMs that don't want to have to deal with that.
Yeah. In fact, you know, this tying into draft picks, another bizarre thing is, well, you know, they're obviously concerned because Steve Wilkes and Vance Joseph got fired after 1 and 2 years. But they put mm-hmm. in there, like, if you keep the guy that you hire more than 2 years, then you get further draft incentives. So it's like you're kind of sitting there like, wow, if we keep another year, we'll get bumped up from a fourth-round pick to a third. It's just weird.
So we got to get laughed at for having Vance Joseph, who is out there having the time of his life embarrassing the Denver Broncos. Like, come on, pick a Brian Flores. They're awesome down there, as opposed to hiring an Adam Gase in New York, right?
Well, you know what it is, and I told you, Ken. It's like it's their way, and it's, you know, and it's a bad look, right? It's their way of, you know, all of a sudden this, you know, hotel, and I'm just using that because it comes to the top of my mind, and I'm actually watching Capone with Tom Hardy, and I'm thinking of, like, you know, back in the days, it's like this hotel says, oh, okay, you know what? We normally don't let black people in, but, you know, here's what we're going to do. You know, once a month, we're going to make sure that we cater to our black customers, and we're going to give them, you know, 3 free rooms, or we're going to give the hotel an incentive. If you can give 3 rooms to African-Americans, you get an extra whatever it may be. And it becomes more of a mockery than of something that's actually helpful. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It becomes this pathetic handout.
Yep.
Right.
Yes.
I don't want to be the coach that's hired. Because you're looking and saying, you're the GM, and you go, oh, if we hire this guy, that'll boost our draft pick status. Because I know as a coach, I'm going to have to answer those questions, right?
Yep.
I'm going to have to, as a black coach, I'm going to have to answer those questions on a daily basis. And that's where, like I said, the racial element comes into play. And I think there'll be a lot of teams that might stay away from that because they know, and like I said, it's the elephant in the room that they don't want to talk about, but they know if they hire a black coach, they have to talk about it, right? So don't you think there'll be a lot of teams that go, hey, we might want to stay away from this because now when people are going to be questioning, did we really hire the best candidate or did we hire a guy that's going to potentially help us move up in the draft?
Yeah. I hate to say it, Ken Wiggs, but like, doesn't this kind of reek of like a bunch of really like well-to-do, out of touch, dare I say, like white guys in a boardroom someplace saying like, oh, we know how to fix it. We'll just incentivize them for it. This seems like the most out of touch idea. And I hope this is voted down unanimously. Cause like you said a minute ago, Wiggs, like this would like, I'd be insulted and it's almost mm-hmm. would leave like a smear on your organization. Well, they held on to that coach obviously so they could, you know, get, you know, 8 picks up in the second round so they could grab that linebacker they wanted. Like that's just disgusting.
Right. And like Mike Wilbon said in the auto that you played, it seems like something from the 50s or 60s, right? Yeah. And when you think about like who's coming up with these ideas, I mean, we had the conversation. I kind of say it jokingly, but I'm kind of saying it seriously. We had that debate that one time about the TD Bank and the sign that they put up about if your card's found in, you know, Ashmont or whatever it may be. I always look at it like, when they're coming up with these ideas, are there no black people in the room that they're saying, hey, do you think this is a good idea? Because I'm going to bet you if there were some African-Americans that were in the room and they would say, hold on, NFL, this is not a good look. This is not a good, even though you might understand that you have a problem, this is not a good look. It's not a good look for black coaches, and it's not a good look on, you know, how there are going to be a lot of white people that view this, right? Yeah. So we need to come up with something that works out and say, okay, we know we have an issue, but how do we come up with a better solution that just doesn't, you know, not a solution that looks like, all right, we're giving black coaches a handout, and the only reason why we're giving them the handout is so the organization can benefit. And now the poor organization is going to be asked questions if they hire a black coach. Did you really hire that guy because he's the best candidate, or is it because he's going to help you move up in the draft? And like that, it's like somebody needed to say something when they came up with this idea.
Was Jay-Z not available to step in and be like, yeah, guys, not a good look?
Well, see, if Jay-Z's in the room, Jay-Z is completely he's, I don't know if you ever seen the movie Get Out, but he's in the sunken place. Jay-Z would have been all for this one.
is Jay-Z like the guy who like goes to shake hands, but like they does a fist bump and he extends a hand for the shake? He's like, you're done.
Jay-Z's too late. Somebody hit the spoon in the teacup. Jay-Z is in the sunken place now.
Wiggs so, I mean, with the excellent pop culture reference. Nice.
Well, I mean, you know, if you've seen the movie Get Out, you understand, but you need to find somebody that's a little bit more, you know what, hey, this is not a good look. You know, this is not really, you know, you're not really helping the culture. You're not moving the culture forward with this one, the NFL.
Hey, Wiggs, before we let you go, I know you're on the Cam Newton train. Mike Giardi said on Dale and Keith Friday, he's been told the Patriots are not interested now, but ... That doesn't mean they won't be here in a couple months. And Willie McGinnis said he thinks he'd fit in the Patriots room. He thinks he would fit in well here, and they respect his talents. What do you make of the latest reports there?
You know what? I'm all in on the Cam Newton thing, right? But the number one question you got to ask yourself as an organization is, it's do we want to be able to go for it and be potentially a playoff team this year, or do we want to just let's see what Stidham is, and then if he falls on his face, we're right back in the quarterback conversation next year, but we're in better position to maybe get one of those guys that could be the future for the next, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years. Because Cam Newton, if he comes in, I think he's still good enough, and Bill's still good enough that he makes you competitive at maybe 8-8, 9-7. Maybe you make the playoffs. But is that really what you want? Because aren't you looking for a quarterback next year anyways? If you go 8-8, 9-7, and you're back into the playoffs with Cam Newton,
right?
Aren't you right back in it knowing that he's not the future? I mean, I would love to see it, but I think the Patriots have to make a decision and say either Stidham's going to be the guy that we can say for the next, you know, he'll be our future quarterback, or he's going to be the guy that falls on his face.
Yep. Hey, Wiggs, appreciate it. Get back to Capone. Good stuff.
I will. I'll let you know. Yeah. So far, it's mezza so far, but hopefully it gets better.
All right, man. Thanks for coming on.
All right, later.
Good stuff, Wiggs.
Jay Wiggs at jwiggs85 on Twitter.
Not he will fan. Be my the color analyst Saturday, Tuesday evening when he and I call the Madden Virtual Patriots versus Bucks showdown on WEEI's Facebook page, and it is in fact serving, as some had asked, as an audition tape for me and Wiggs to ascend to the Monday Night Football booth this fall. And I got to tell
couldn't
you, honestly,
worse than the last group.
I was just gonna thank you, Ken. You stole the words out of my mouth. We couldn't be any worse than Tessa Tor and Booger.
I'd take Tessa and Booger.
Hey, Ken Laird, you are a jerk.
How about
Bridget? You're fired as well.
How about the news though that Dante Hightower liked the response to the news that's going to happen, the virtual game, Bucks v. Patriots on EA Sports, Tuesday night at 8. What is it, on Facebook? And
it's WEEI.com, Facebook.com/WEEI.
Bill Gilman responds to Bradfo, at which point during the game does at Zeus 30 Hightower cripple him and end his career, and Hightower likes it?
Oh, no laugh track there. Hey, Bridget.
That is a serious... indication of hatred, deep-seated hatred to Brady in the Patriots room. Oh,
I don't
man.
Know. I kind of wonder if he didn't like it just to stir the pot up a little bit. Not that he was in on the virtual thing or that Hightower's got any sort of deal with EA Sports, but like that's juicy. Like now that makes me want to just go ahead and skip ahead this 2020 season and get to 2021 for Thunderdome, Brady versus Belichick. Do you think, Ken, do you think if some of these guys who went to these Super Bowls, who fought alongside, who bled, who, you know, were battered with Brady, but, you know, won these championships and have so many memories, would they go easy on him or would they bring the hammer?
That would be a Super Bowl-esque ratings game. Not to dodge your question, but they would come at him. But what would the share
be? The highest rated NFL regular season game ever, hands down.
We're doing the virtual game Tuesday. We're already counting down to it a year and a half ahead of time. let's get Lloyd and Worcester in before the break real quick. Hi, Lloyd.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
I had a few things I want to talk to you about. First, I wanted to say something to Ken. Are you there, Ken?
Yo.
Okay, listen. I listen to Greg's show every morning, and people beat up on you a lot. And I just want you to know that I have some compassion for you. I mean, I heard a guy call up yesterday, and he basically was shouting at the top of his voice, saying that you were an idiot.
I know.
I would like to say to the callers out there, that's irresponsible. You shouldn't be doing that. I mean,
if you weren't
on the radio, if you weren't behind the wheel, would you tell that man face-to-face that you're an idiot and shouting at him? So anyways, Ken, I feel your pain, brother.
Thank you, my man.
Yeah. Hey, you remind me, I don't know if you ever watch it, probably not, but there's a show called The Five on Fox. And they have a gentleman, Juan Williams.
Yeah.
And he's their token Democrat, and he's their token black man or Hispanic man. And they basically pile up on him every day. So I think about you when I think about him. Okay. I did want to talk sports real quick.
Yeah.
And this thing with Blake Snell and baseball, I want to remind folks how the country has changed. Do you know during World War II, Ted Williams, probably arguably the greatest hitter of all time, he quit playing baseball to go join World War II, so he could. I don't know if he was Army or if he's Army Air Force. I don't know what he did, but it's just obviously the times have changed. You gentlemen also touched on the Patriots. You opened the show with this and about the fans' interest, and there'll be some drop off.
Yep.
I want to tell you real quick. I'm from South Florida. I grew up with Dan Marino and Don Shula. I grew up in Fort Lauderdale, and they were the guys. And I kind of got giggled at the other day. I was on Greg's show, and I told him, I said, you know, 2007, the Patriots blew me away. And I live in Massachusetts now, and I'm a huge Patriots fan. That's not going to change. I'll be with the Patriots till the day that I go. And so I don't, you know, for the people that want to fly off because Brady left, they're not real fans. I'm a real fan, and I just got on the bandwagon here in 2007 because they're the most awesome team I'd ever seen. I'd like to close with this. I'm sorry that Wiggy's not on the radio anymore. I love arguing with him about Cam Newton because I'm telling you, we do not have money for the salary cap for Cam Newton, and furthermore, I don't think he fits our offense whatsoever. Belichick is a control freak, and he does not want that guy just running around doing whatever he's going to do. He wants to call a play, and the play happens. Josh McDaniels. And a 50-50 chance. One last thing. Tom Brady is not 50. He's going to be 43 at the beginning of next year. You have a great day, gentlemen. Thanks for the call.
How about that? A rare Laird sympathizer on the program.
I know.
That is beautiful.
God, that cost me more than getting Tom Brady to do a cameo video for Curtis.
In terms of Cam there at the end,
mm-hmm.
does Belichick have the say there, or is it McDaniels? In other words, if McDaniels says, hey, I worked with Tebow, I know exactly the way we're going to use him.
I'm not sure if I'd lead with I worked with Tebow.
Well,
but.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. But anyway, he's fancied a mobile-ish quarterback before, put it that mm-hmm. way.
Well, McDaniels could, what he could do, Ken, McDaniels could come to Belichick and say, look, during this time away from each other, I sort of like worked out a what if we had Cam Newton and Stidham on the team, and the plan was to utilize Cam Newton to showcase his abilities while still not stunting the growth of Stidham and shielding him from being thrown to the masses full on in his first year, which is technically his second year in the league. And if he compelled Belichick enough with this crazy offense or some unbelievable game plan, maybe Belichick would be convinced to step outside his comfort zone. Because I agree with the last caller. Cam Newton's style just doesn't fit. He is a control freak, and he's so turnover averse. It's not about saggy footballs or anything else. You fumble the ball. Like, every time Stephen Ridley would fumble the ball, you wouldn't see him for a week or two.
Yeah, but
like,
all we've known is Cam Newton with Rivera and that setup. I mean, we've never seen him. Maybe he's just like, maybe they could turn him back into the guy that was coming out of college. I mean, who knows? I mean, no, we've never seen it. It's worth a shot for $1 million, isn't it? I mean,
If he would take only $1 million, I mean, like, again, you know, one or two more shots and that $1 million could just be the end of his, it may be benito for him. So it's a tough call on Cam Newton's part. And if he's going to literally sit around until late July or early August to see if some team can't get their playbook in order or COVID has affected them to such a point they need a starter, then is he going to come in and learn a team's playbook in 5 weeks and be ready to go?
Yeah, that's a tough call.
It's a risky proposition.
All right, let's get to what's trending. A lot of calls on the board. We'll buzz through them here on the way on Ken and Fitzy, but here's what's trending.
OMF, weekdays from 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Well, Boston College is losing its athletic director. That's the breaking news here in the past hour, Fitzy. Martin Jarman is heading to UCLA. Sources tell Brett McMurphy, first reported by Yahoo, actually. And UCLA made the offer. BC made a strong counteroffer, but gonzo.
That's why Curtis went and ate his feelings at the ice cream truck.
Also, I see Gronk has posted a... What did he do? He gave Arizona Athletics a shout-out, or is it a graduation?
He basically did a shout-out, a congratulatory virtual commencement day video to Arizona Wildcats.
Hashtag bear down, and he says at the end of the video, let's go Bucks. It's more...
Yep. And he did it with like a purple sunset and palm trees behind him. So he is dead to me.
NFL set to reopen some facilities this week for teams that are in states that have relaxed COVID-19 restrictions. So far, that is not Massachusetts, where Governor Baker's house in Swampscott had protesters out in front of today. Monday will be the end of the stay-at-home order. We'll determine what, if anything, Fitzy is going to be unleashed. Tennis, we think, dog grooming, and car washes. Maybe.
That's the list.
That's the list.
An old Johnny Carson where he would play Karnak and hold the envelope up to his head. Tennis, dog grooming, and car washes.
Baseball's got a 67-page proposal out to the players that has been leaked, which has a bunch. I mean, it is very thorough about what's going to have to happen to change protocols on the road, in the dugout, in the dressing room, showers, etc. It is detailed. It'd be a major shock to the baseball system if they get this thing approved. That's what's trending now on the Greg... Well, it's not the Greg Hill Show. Could be the Greg Hill Show.
No.
Kenneth Fitzy.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
This is the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hello, U of A senior, soon-to-be fellow alumni, like the one and only Robbie G, baby. I just want to say congratulations on all your hard work and dedication to come so far. But life is now about to pick up. So get out there and dominate. And never, ever, ever forget to bear down. Go Wildcats, go Bucks. Woo!
Wow. Natural, I thought. Very at ease there, Fitzy.
Oh, of course,
sounded
Ken.
Smooth.
Ugh. That was fine up until go Bucks. Come on, Gronk.
It is a sleazy operation. The Gronk Brady padded year and a half master plan. You got to admit that it is tough to see.
I can't believe you are getting me to buy into this whole conspiracy theory.
Not even a conspiracy. It's like it's fact.
It's becoming obvious.
All right, a couple of items before we hit the phones. We've been talking about a lot of different issues today. Minority hires with Wiggy. I enjoyed that. Wiggs brings a unique perspective on the subject. Pats fans bailing on the team. Cam Newton. What culture driving Brady out, NHL plan, baseball 67-page proposal, a couple COVID updates. First of all, Mutt is thrilled because New York is opening up the racetracks across the state. So no fans, though, but you can at least bet on the games. Churchill Downs, I think, opened today, so Mutt's fine anyway on that
front.
And
when did they, Ken, when are they planning on running the actual Kentucky Derby? Is that October?
I think so. I think it's in the fall at some point. Wynn Casinos, which include the Encore Boston Harbor, when they come back, will not be playing poker, except in the high limit rooms, because of, I guess, the obvious touching of the chips and tight quarters, and you can't read anybody's face without wearing a mask. So poker is out. In person poker is out.
Wow. That now, have you seen blow. Ken? Have you seen some of these schematics of what casinos are going to look like?
No.
With those sort. Oh, they're fascinating. These little like plexiglass screens that they have up now in restaurants or at 7-Elevens where Greg Hill goes and risks killing all of us every day by getting his dip before the show.
Yep.
So these little they're going to wrap the tables, the roulette tables and the blackjack tables. They're going to wrap them in that freestanding, like 24-inch high plexiglass. And there's going to be room just for your hands to go in underneath and throw the chips or roll the dice.
Jeez.
I mean, these businesses need to operate because I saw that Encore posted a $60 million loss. $60 million loss last month. And for something that obviously is going to operate as a loss leader for years, if not just live in the red for nearly a decade, that's devastating. So you got to get them back in there somehow. But at the same time, it would almost make me feel like, you know what it would make me feel like? It would make me feel like smoking a cigarette on like a 3-square-foot balcony. Like, did you really need to go out there that badly? Do you know what I mean? Like, did you need to go out that bad?
To the phones we go. Do you know Kids Style Wayne B? That is quite the handle. I don't. Do you know this caller, Fitzy?
Is this yeah, crazy, you know, Wayne and Southie?
Oh,
that's right.
Kids my guy.
Style, that's my radio. Ken Lear. That's my radio name,
I'm
buddy.
Sorry,
I worked in radio for 20 years.
I'm sorry. Go
that's
ahead.
That's Kids Style Wayne B. It stands for Keen Intellectual Disciple of Sexy, Talented, Young Living Energy, brother.
Jeez.
Listen to this that's guy. Spitting straight fire, man. You're coming out the bullpen throwing 98 today, Wayne.
You know that, Fitzy. I miss you, brother. Listen, I want to talk about a couple of things real quick with Stidham and the Patriots. And real quick, was Wiggy the one who said the Patriots are going to go 4-12, Ken?
No, Curtis said that. Wiggy, I think, is 6-10.
Yep.
Okay. Well, tell Curtis I want to bet him $100.
Okay.
That they're not going to go 4-12.
You won't be betting him. You'll be betting his dad, but that's fine.
I'll bet his dad. I'll bet whoever. They're not going 4-12. No way. No way. And another thing, I've been watching this. You know how I am. I've been watching a lot of film on this kid Stidham. This kid. Now, the way the NFL is going, correct me if I'm right, Fitzy, isn't it the way that quarterbacks are running quarterbacks now, like, you know, with Baltimore and Kansas City and all these teams coming up? All their quarterbacks run, right?
Yeah, well, it's more about a quarterback. You have teams where you have a LaMarvelous Jackson who is truly a running quarterback. He's a runner who also has learned how to throw the ball. He's truly a running quarterback. Patrick Mahomes can move and introduced it as a weapon last year, but he's not really a running quarterback. He's not a Mike Vick. With Jarrett Stidham, you've got someone who can move and can change and roll the pocket differently, whereas Brady was pretty traditional, pretty staid, and pretty slow.
That's what I'm saying.
That's right.
This kid, I watch him. He can run. This kid can run. He's fast.
No, he's fast. There was no chance of an RPO when Brady was quarterback. No chance at all.
Yeah, he breaks that pocket quick, too. If he doesn't see something that, you know what I mean, if he feels that pressure coming, he's gone. You know what I mean? And he can run. He played against Alabama, and to me, Alabama is like pretty much a professional team. You know what I mean? They're like an NFL team. And he tore them to pieces when he played them, dude. He was running all over them. And that's what I'm saying. I like Stidham because I think not only does he got a great arm, too, that kid can throw about 80 yards, right?
Yeah, he can sling it. The operating phrase, as Ken and I have gone over on many Saturdays, Wayne, was he's been described as having tremendous arm talent.
Yes, I seen it. He threw that ball. He can skyrocket. And he's got pretty good precision on the ball, you know what I mean? Like where he throws it, it goes. So I'm telling you, I'm still saying 10-6. I'm going with 10-6. That's what I think we're going to go with. Because like I said, I think Belichick's going to, you know what I mean? We got a great defense. This kid, Uche, and all these other guys they got, I'm glad that he went out and got some speed. You know what I mean? Because that's what we needed on the edges. We needed speed. And he went out and got it. So I think what's going to happen is Belichick's going to, you know, do the defense and let Josh, like he did with Big, run the thing. And I see this kid Stidham coming along. I think this is what we needed. I really do. I mean, you know, I love Brady. I'll always love Brady. I grew up, you know what I mean? My son was born on the first time he ever won the Super Bowl in 2000. That's when my son was born. So I'll always love Brady. But I'm a Patriots fan, plain and simple. I've been a Patriots fan since 1976. You know what I mean, Fitz? I've been watching my team for a long time.
Hey, Wayne, listen, you're talking to a guy who has lived and died with this team, who is known, who has an alter ego and an identity that's aligned with the Patriots, and who named a kid after Brady as well. So, you know, my appreciation for everything Brady brought and did for this region is never ending. But at the same time, as I sit here watching highlights prompted by Wayne of when Stidham threw 335 yards and 4 touchdowns in the bowl game against Purdue about a year and a half ago, I got to say, you know, it's time to, you know, blank or get off the pot. And I'm gonna root for the Patriots. There were so many callers in the 1 o'clock hour, Ken, that were so logically minded and even keeled, which I know isn't traditional for sports radio, who said, lucky us. I get to watch Brady on a prolific offense at 4 o'clock, and I get to watch my team evolve and try to develop a new identity at 1 o'clock.
We also had several old callers, they describe themselves as old, that are bailing on the franchise because they took away the golden ticket 2 years before it should have been. And by the way, I think 10-6 is possible, but let's not say Stidham now can run like Michael Vick. All of a sudden, he's got Marino's arm and he's got Vick's legs. I mean, let's slow the roll here.
He's a shorter, less tan Randall Cunningham. How about that?
We only got a minute for Paul and Quincy. Paul, sorry to cut you quick, but get in and get out if you can.
Okay, real quick, a couple of things real quick. I heard your conversation with Wiggy and the example he made with the 32 donuts, and I feel that the most important question that needed to be asked during that conversation is, where I can buy a box of 32 donuts.
This was months ago. This was
we buried the lead, Paul.
Yeah. And secondly, I remember the dark days of the Patriots. I was at the first Monday Night Football game played there, where the NFL swore they'd never play televise another game from that stadium. I remember Joe Capp playing for the Patriots, mm-hmm. And I remember regarding if things are going full cycle and we're coming into the dark days of the Patriots. Ironically, it was from my favorite coach quote of all time, head coach quote, was the, I don't remember his name. He was a very great college football coach who was the very first coach in the first year of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and he said, we can't win on the road. We've discovered we can't win on the road, and we can't win at home. Therefore, we're looking for a neutral site.
Yeah, in the era of COVID, Paul, maybe you get that. Maybe we'll have neutral site Pats games this year, although I don't think so. Final thoughts of Ken and Fitzy on the way here on Sports Radio WEI.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're locked in to the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Well, it was already a tough week, Fitzy, with the passing of Jerry Stiller and little Richard as well. But another famous actor is passed away.
One of my all-time favorites, truly one of the great comedic actors, comic voices, and improvisers of our day, the great Fred Willard, has passed away at 86. That is the mighty win that you feel out there. Treat yourself if you get a chance. Yes, he's great in Anchorman, but if you've never seen him, watch Waiting for Guffman, A Mighty Wind, or Best in Show. Three incredible comedies. Truly one of the greats. It is a gone too soon, man. What a legend.
Hate to say it, I enjoyed another show working with you for 3 hours, Fitzy, so this is very awkward for me.
It's like 2 months in a row where I have to give in to the fact that I actually liked working with you, too.
Of course, you have no choice, so you're doing the best you can with it. We will see you Monday, though, right? You going to be in studio or staying on the Cape for the Monday show?
I don't know.
Hillman is going to be in Maine for weeks at this point. After the picture, he was out at the Ocean Park. What's his place there?
I know. I saw the picture of him on Instagram standing proudly in the quote-unquote ocean shack with his pile of steaks that he had grilled up. I'm sure right now he's already commissioned an artist to do an oil painting of that he can hang over his fireplace.
All right. Talk to you Monday morning. CBS Sports Radio is on the way. For Fitzy, I'm Ken. It's WEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.